Session 2, introducing your new family. Well, we're thinking this term about being the people of God. And we started last time by the story of that orphan. And not only did they get new parents, but a whole new family. And that's true for Christian believers too. Not just given a new personal relationship with God our Father, but brought into his family as well. It's always what Jesus said he would do. And this new family is what we call the church. And what we're thinking about today is, what is this family like? I guess for some of us, family will be a very positive thing. For others, probably less so. So what are we to expect of this new family that God is bringing us into? Well, first today, we're going to think about what should our church family look like. The book of Acts tells the story of the growth of God's family, the church, how more and more people in more and more places came to trust Jesus and join the family. And near the beginning of Acts, we get a snapshot of this new family getting together. And it gives a great taste of what this church family should be like for us as well. Let me read the verses. It's Acts chapter 2, verse 42 to 47. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe, and many wonders and miraculous signs were done by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common, selling their possessions and goods. They gave to everyone as he had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favour of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. Now, extended family get-togethers aren't always full of joy, but that's not the case here. We read that they were full of awe. They met with glad hearts, praising God. And we're going to focus just on five ingredients of these gatherings that we can learn from. First, we should learn God's ways together. We got that from the beginning. It tells us they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. Now, the apostles had the task of teaching the truth about Jesus. The early disciples, were told, devoted themselves to that teaching. They had a massive hunger to learn more about Jesus and how to follow him. Now, for us today, the apostles' teaching is recorded for us in the Bible. So actually, a mark of our new family, the church, should be a massive hunger to learn more about Jesus and how to follow him from the Bible. And so Sunday meetings should have the Bible right at the heart of things. But the important thing isn't just the teaching of the Bible, but our listening to it. Even if the preacher may not be to our taste, we can always learn something from God's word, the Bible. And many people find midweek groups are another great way of learning God's word together. Here's a question. Would that word devoted sum up your attitude to learning God's ways from the Bible? Here's the second mark of that those early family get-togethers. They remembered Christ's death together. And we read in verse 42 that they devoted themselves to the fellowship and to the breaking of bread. Jesus' death and the forgiveness that he offers us through it is the thing actually that has brought us together as a family. His death reminds us that none of us is better than any other, and that even if we struggle to get on with someone, Jesus loves that person enough to die for them. And so as a family, we need to keep remembering Jesus' death for us. And the wonderful way Jesus gave for us to do that is by the breaking of bread and drinking of wine, to remember his body and blood given for us. That's what the early believers did. That's what we should do as well. Keeping Jesus' death and the forgiveness that he brings us together through right at the heart of what we do. Third mark then is this, praying to our Father together. And again, in verse 42, we read that they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, the fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. Do you remember when Jesus taught his disciples to pray? He started not my Father in heaven, but our Father in heaven. You see, Jesus' followers now all share the same Father. He's a Father who longs to hear from us. Now, not all of us will feel that we're much good at praying. and one of our discipleship sessions focuses in on prayer in a lot more detail. But here we see that praying is not something we have to kind of figure out alone. We pray to God as a family, and we can learn from each other. That's why it's a great thing to actually go along to your church prayer meeting, even if you don't do much praying to start with. Just listen in and learn what it means to talk to God, our Father. He's all of our Father. Fourth mark is this: sharing our lives together. I love this one. Verse 44, all the believers were together and had everything in common. Selling their possessions and goods, they gave to anyone as he had need. They met in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts. Now, this is not an early kind of communist manifesto. Of course, communism is a program dictated from above. This couldn't be more different. It's simply a spontaneous desire to meet each other's needs. In fact, it's just what families who love each other do. And so church family should be marked out by love, really knowing each other, really caring for each other in practical ways. Well, that takes us to the fifth and final mark of this gathering. And it's this: witnessing to the world together. At the end, we read, praising God and enjoying the favour of all the people, the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. You see, the church should be an ever-growing family, not a kind of holy and cosy clique, but a family who longs to draw more and more people in. A family who are so different that people want to find out what it's all about. So isn't this a great snapshot then? Learning God's ways, remembering Christ's death, praying to our Father, sharing our lives, witnessing to the world. Now, sadly, church doesn't always feel like this. We're a family of sinners, after all. But rather than criticising from the touchline, actually God calls us to get involved and commit to making church like this ourselves. So that's what our church family should look like then. Let's move on now to think about why being part of a church family is so important. We're often reminded in the newspapers that fewer and fewer people are coming to church. The Church of England now defines regular church attendance as just coming once a month. But when we look at what God says in the Bible, we see that meeting regularly together as Christians is absolutely vital. This is a family we really need. Let me read some verses from the book of Hebrews, chapter 10, verse 23 to 25. Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promises is faithful. And let us consider how we may spur one another on towards love and good deeds. Let us not give up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. You see, there is a day approaching when Jesus will return, and all who love him and trust him will be taken by Jesus on that day to be part of his perfect kingdom. That day is the most important day in the universe, in our lives. And it's actually the most important thing, therefore, for us to keep loving and trusting Jesus, looking ahead to that day, as it says in verse 23, to hold unswervingly to the hope we profess. But if we're to have any chance of doing that, we need each other. Verse 24, let us consider how we can spur one another on towards love and good deeds. Let us not give up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another, and all the more as you see this day approaching. I'm a runner, I love running, but it's the classic individual sport. I suppose more of a team sport might be rowing, where you can't even go out on the water if someone doesn't turn up. Well, being a Christian is much more like rowing than running. It's a team game. We need each other. We need to spur one another on, as it says in verse 24. You know, there are loads of things in life that can make it hard to keep following and loving Jesus. You know, hard times from colleagues at work, doubts perhaps. You know, perhaps we've just got a friend, he's got loads and loads of questions. We don't know how to answer them. Perhaps there's a work due coming up and there are loads of temptations. Well, in all of these situations, we need other Christian believers to spur us on, to help us, to cheer us on, saying, keep going, keep living for Jesus, don't give up. And it tells us we are to consider how we can spur one another on. That means thinking about the best way of spurring on Jane or Tim or Johnny. Thinking specifically about those people and their lives and how we can encourage them to keep living for Jesus. And of course, unless we get to know those people, we can't do that. And unless we meet regularly together, of course, we're not going to be able to get to know people. And that's why we need to make meeting together a top priority. You see, how can I spur Phil on if I don't really know what's going on in his life? And how can I do that unless I'm at church week by week building up our relationship? And actually, how can people spur me on if they don't know me? And how can they know me if I'm very rarely at church myself? And that's why we're told to not give up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing. It's so easy to get into a bad habit. We miss a few weeks and we think, oh, well, perhaps no one will remember me anyway. So we miss a few more weeks. And before we know it, we've stopped going altogether. But when we really get the importance of church, well, we won't just kind of come when we can. We'll begin to arrange our lives around our church family. We'll simply make it a priority, putting church ahead of other things in life, even if that might be costly. Think of it this way. If a doctor prescribed you some vital medicine and told you to take it every week, well, would you happily miss it from time to time? Well, God has prescribed meeting as a church family as regularly as we can. It is a vital medicine for our spiritual health. And so we've got to be careful not to mess around with it, but to make church family a real priority in our lives. So just to finish up then, when you think church, what do you think of? One of the problems with the word church is it conjures up so many different things for different people. For some people, it's just a building, perhaps a pretty 16th century building. For other people, it's a meeting. Church happens from 10 o'clock till 11:15 or whatever it might be. But in the original, the word literally just means assembly or a gathering. It's all about people getting together, a family gathering, a family that we belong to. And our view of what church is fundamentally changes our approach to it. If we think of it just as a building that we visit, well, we're going to care more about the aesthetics of the meeting place than the people there. If we think of it just as a meeting that I attend, well, we'll see church as happening from a particular time. You know, I'm unlikely to build relationships with people and grow in those relationships outside of kind of structured church time. Perhaps I'll focus in instead on the style of the meeting more than the content or the people who are there. If I think of church as perhaps a duty to perform, well, I'll go to church because it's what good Christians do. There'll be little joy, and I'll just fulfil the minimum requirement. A church becomes about me and God and me trying to get right with God in some way. But none of those things are what church is all about. Instead, as we've seen today, church is a family I belong to. And that means I'll do whatever I can to develop and grow relationships with my church family. Perhaps that might mean small things like sticking around at the end of a service, joining a midweek group if possible, seeing people outside of the structured church activities. And it's going to mean that I seek to grow in a real commitment to my church family as well. Church is no longer about my convenience, how I'm feeling, or trying to meet my needs. It's about being there for my family and therefore a top priority. So as we wrap up then, when you think about your experience of church, well, I wonder what comes to mind. Maybe all this talk about family feels quite a long way away from your experience. And there could be several reasons why church doesn't feel much like a family yet. It could be that you're just quite new. You know, relationships take time to grow. So stick at it, and you'll find before long it will feel more like a family. It could be that you're just shy and underconfident. Coffee after church is your worst nightmare. Well, let me encourage you, start small. Aim to have just one good conversation, perhaps, each week. You don't need to get to know everyone all at once. And ask God to help you just to form one or two good friendships. I guess if we're being honest, the reason it might not quite feel like a family yet is simply because we've not made it a priority. We're not very involved. And because we're so irregular, we've not really got to know people. And therefore, it feels much more like a meeting I attend or a duty that I perform. Well, whatever your own situation, church is a wonderful gift for you, a family God has given you. So go for it. Get stuck in. Make the most of this wonderful gift. And you know, the more you treat church as a family, the more it will begin to feel like a family.